When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Dirst Show. Since the last time we talked, 50 hostages have been released, mostly children and women, one man who is Russian, as a gift to Putin. He didn't even count among the people who were released. In exchange, Israel freed 150 prisoners. Now, some of the media tries to equate the prisoners who were released with the hostages. No, I don't think you can do that. A three-year-old baby is not the same as a woman who drove with a bomb in her car, planning to blow up an Israeli police station, and ended up blowing herself up and blowing up an Israeli. She ended up being disfigured. He ended up being seriously, seriously hurt. And of course, the media presents her, oh, this disfigured woman who was in an accident. No, she wasn't in an accident. She was trying to blow up an Israeli police guard and station and area, and the bomb went off prematurely. Maybe she was a suicide bomber, and she was perfectly content to blow herself up, but she didn't. But she's among those released, and CNN says, well, they're not really prisoners because they haven't been convicted of any crime. Well, they don't understand the Israeli legal system. It's not like American legal system. There's no trial by jury, as there is no trial by jury in virtually any European country or any other country around the world. There may be three or four countries in the whole world that have trials by jury. So Israel has judicial trials for everybody. If you're a national security threat, like a woman like that, and the witnesses against you are undercover agents, Arabs, Palestinians, maybe even members of Hamas, who have been converted and changed and turned and now provide information to the Israelis. Obviously, the Israelis can't reveal those names, so they have a special system of administrative detention. But under that system of administrative detention, there are rules. You can only be held for a certain period of time before charges are brought. The charges have to be brought, and they have to be sustained by evidence, although it doesn't have to be the same standard of evidence, the same level of cross-examination. Virtually every country in the world has a similar system. In fact, Israel borrowed it from the British. The British used that system when they were in control of what was then called the Mandate. And Israel just accepted that law and now have improved it and added due process. But whatever you think, there's still no comparison between and they say children have been released. Yeah, 17-year-old suicide bombers and 17-year-olds who have thrown Molotov cocktails. They're children, and they've been released, but they're not equivalent to the three-year-olds who were released having been held by Hamas, some of them without real food. One of the women said that all she was fed was rice and bread and had to wait for a long time to go to the bathroom. But the worst offender in analyzing these comparisons is the New York Times. Today's New York Times has a headline. The headline is Gaza civilians under Israel barrage are being killed in historic pace. It's a totally false headline. First of all, the Times has no idea how many civilians have been killed. They have no idea. Let me explain to you why. Hamas produces figures, by the way. They produced the figure of 12,000. Suddenly it was 15,000. What 3,000 new people killed during the pause? You can't believe any Hamas figures. But put that aside. Hamas itself doesn't distinguish between civilians and combatants. So when it says 12,000 people have been killed, it's not 12,000 civilians. The Times simply misleads its readers. It's not 12,000 civilians. It's 12,000 combined civilians and combatants. What if 10,000 of them are combatants? We don't know what the numbers are. Even Hamas doesn't give you the numbers. So how does the Gray Lady, the newspaper of record, fail to understand this? Now, they bury deep into the article a statement that acknowledges that Hamas doesn't make that distinction, but then it ignores it. It ignores it in the headlines. It should say Gaza people under Israeli barrage are being killed, but not civilians, because they don't know how many civilians there are, whether there are 2,000, 5,000, 6,000. Nobody knows. Hamas doesn't even give you that information, even if you could believe everything Hamas says. There is nothing in the record that would suggest how many are civilians. So the Times figures out, well, it knows how many are civilians because Hamas does give the following figures. It says how many women there are, and of course, all women are civilians. We know that. If you have a vagina, you cannot be a suicide bomber or plant the bomb, even though one of the prisoners released was a woman who was a suicide bomber who was planting a bomb. But if you're a woman, you don't count. And if you're a child, you don't count. What they don't tell you is that child is a 17-and-a-half-year-old suicide bomber or a 17-and-a-half-year-old who came into Israel on October 7th and raped and murdered and beheaded people. Yeah, they're children. They're children soldiers in violation of all the laws of war. But the Times doesn't tell you that. All it tells you is that because there are a certain amount of women and a certain amount of children, they must all be civilians. No, no, no. Women and children are not civilians. Many women and children, 17-year-olds, are combatants. We know that Hamas uses women as suicide bombers. In fact, what they do is often get women to become suicide bombers by raping them. And then they're, quote, damaged goods and subject to honor killing. And so the Hamas people go to them and say, you have dishonored your family. You've destroyed the reputation of your family because you've been raped under Sharia law. If you were raped, it's as if you had walked out on the street and sold your body for 10 cents. It makes no difference if you've had sex. That's Hamas's view. If you've had sex, you're damaged goods. And if you're damaged goods, the only good you can do is to be a suicide bomber. So they persuade people to become suicide bombers by raping them first, making them damaged goods, and then saying the only way your family honor can be saved is by blowing yourself up. But they count the civilians, even though they have a bomb on them. They count the civilians because they're women. Because they're women. What a sexist attitude by a sexist Hamas, which supports honor killing and requires women to cover up and doesn't permit women to do anything on their own without male escorts. No, they are permitted to do certain things on their own, blow themselves up or blow up Israelis. That they can do on their own, but not any aspect of real civilian life. So the New York Times totally distorts how many civilians have been killed. We just don't know any civilians. We know the babies. If there are babies, they've been killed. But the Times story doesn't tell us how many of the people killed, even the babies, were being used as human shields. If Hamas put these babies in front of a rocket or in a place where ammunition and rockets were stored, or where commanders were holed up, is that a civilian who was killed by Israel, or is that a civilian who was killed by Hamas? Let me give you one obviously glaring error. Among the 12,000 or 15,000, it depends what fake number you believe, are at least 500, at least probably more, who were killed by Hamas rockets or by Islamic Jihad rockets. Between 15 and 20% of all rockets fired by Hamas and other terrorist groups fail. They land in Gaza. They killed Gazan people. Doesn't matter, they count. They count. If you were killed by a rocket, you're among the 12,000. The New York Times counts you. The New York Times doesn't mention in the article that people are killed by Hamas rockets. The New York Times article doesn't mention as well that some civilians, Gazan civilians, who were trying to go south pursuant to Israeli instructions, were killed by Hamas. They count. They were killed by Hamas, but they count. We don't even know if people who die a normal death, if you have 2 million people in a society, you're going to have hundreds of people die every day. That's just natural. We see people born on television because that makes good TV. But people die. Are they counted? People who die a natural death? We don't know. And the New York Times doesn't know. How dare the newspaper of record report about civilian casualties without any knowledge, without any investigation as to how many of them are civilians? The other thing they don't report is this. Many of you probably don't even know this. But when Hamas broke down the fence, and that's a different story for a different day, how they managed to do that. And that's a terrible reflection on Israel's security. But when the Hamas soldiers, terrorists, broke down the fence and started murdering Israeli civilians from these kibbutzim, the civilians from Gaza followed them. And civilians, these same dear, wonderful civilians, Gaza civilians who were being killed in a stark pace, these same civilians were raping, beheading, burning, and murdering. In fact, early on, when Hamas was in a denial mode and it was trying to persuade organizations like the National Lawyers Guild that Hamas wasn't guilty of anything, because the National Lawyers Guild loves Hamas, Hamas was claiming that, yeah, there were rapes, yeah, there were burnings, yeah, there were beheadings, but they weren't done by Hamas people. Hamas soldiers are really honorable people. They were done by the ordinary Gazans who came over the fence and raped and murdered in violation of Sharia law and in violation of the rules of Hamas. So now we have Hamas itself saying that a lot of these people who claim to be civilians, who the New York Times claims are civilians being killed at a large pace, are people who came and murdered. Are they civilians for purposes? Is Israel not entitled to attack them? Of course they are. And what about civilians who allow their homes to be used to store rockets? What about civilians who allow their homes to be used to have tunnels dug under their homes from their basements or from their other rooms to allow Hamas terrorists to operate in the tunnels? Are they civilians or are they combatants? The Times doesn't tell us. And even if they are they civilians who deserve our sympathy? They're not certainly the three-year-olds or the four-year-olds that Hamas loves to parade, the dead baby strategy, as we've talked about. But if you have civilians who have allowed their homes to be used to hide combatants, to hide rockets, to launch rockets, Israel has an absolute right to kill them. If you've become complicit in Hamas's activities, even though if you're not wearing a uniform or a green headgear, you're a combatant for purposes of international law. So New York Times, go back and do your damned homework. Tell us, ask Hamas. Nobody's going to believe them, but at least ask them, what percentage and what's your proof? What percentage of the people who are dead, A, were killed instead of dying, B, were killed by Israeli rockets, not Hamas or Islamic Jihad rockets? How many of them were Hamas combatants? Now, obviously, Israel killed a lot of Hamas combatants. How many? 5,000? If there were 5,000, then the number of civilians killed is reduced by that amount. Is it 7,000? Is it 2,000? We have the right to know, and the New York Times has an obligation to tell us. I have never seen such malpractice in journalism as the New York Times story today on the front page. I have never seen that kind of malpractice, telling us that civilians are dying, using the Hamas numbers, and burying the lead, burying in one sentence a claim that even Hamas doesn't distinguish between combatants and terrorists. So even under Hamas's presentation of the evidence, the New York Times has no idea how many civilians are being killed. They have no way of knowing, except this absurd notion, if you're a woman, you can't be a combatant. And if you're a 17-year-old boy or girl, you can't be a combatant. 17-year-old boys and girls are double war crimes. Hamas using them is itself a war crime. And then if they're human shields, that's a war crime as well. Look, any civilian, any baby who dies is a tragedy. But as I've said before, the New York Times doesn't say this, but as I said before, under law, both international and domestic law, it's the people who are holding hostages. It's the people who are using human shields that are responsible. So let's assume 2,000, 3,000 Gazans were killed. If 2,000 of them were used as human shields, they don't count as Israeli inflicted casualties. They don't count are being killed under Israeli barrage. No, they count as Hamas-caused casualties. I've given you this example before. I rob a bank. I hold a hostage. The police try to shoot me because I'm killing people. By accident, they kill the hostage. Under every single system of criminal law, including Sharia law, every single system of law, the person holding the hostage may not even have a gun. The person holding the hostage who didn't fire the shot that killed him is the murderer. The policeman is totally innocent unless the policeman, you know, acted recklessly or acted purposefully to kill the hostage. And nobody is claiming. I don't think even Hamas is claiming that Israel targets children. Why would they? Why would Israel risk its reputation among the few people who still have objective views of Israel? Why would Israel want to target a three-year-old? Of course, they never have targeted a three-year-old. Hamas targets three-year-olds. We know. We've seen the evidence. We've seen burned babies, three-year-olds. We've seen beheaded children. We've seen raped teenage girls. We know that Hamas targets children. We also know that Israel doesn't target children. And that's an enormous, enormous difference. So shame on the New York Times and shame on the readers of the New York Times for not writing letter after letter. You don't have to be a genius to read this article. You don't have to know anything to read the article. It's self-inconsistent and contradictory when it says so many civilians are being killed. And by the way, Hamas doesn't even tell us the difference between civilians and combatants. You would think anybody would understand that this is not reporting. This is propaganda. And this purports to be, by the way, not opinion. It's on the front page. This purports to be news reporting. News reporting, not even analysis. News reporting by Lauren Leatherby. If there was a Pulitzer Prize in reverse for the worst reporting in modern history, it would go to Lauren Leatherby and her editors who allowed this. How any New York Times editor would allow an article to say that civilians are being killed in large numbers and then say, but we don't know how many there are because Hamas doesn't even distinguish between civilians and combatants, and leave the story at that. It's just outrageous. And so, you know, my job, everybody can condemn Hamas. My job is to condemn those who are not otherwise generally condemned. New York Times is top on my list. Let me tell you who's second on my list. This is going to surprise you. Second on my list is Doctors Without Borders. Do not contribute a penny to that miserable organization. I have a name for it. It's called Doctors Without Morals, Doctors Without Truth. Doctors Without Borders won the Nobel Peace Prize. Everybody loves it. They are a bunch of hacks who care more about politics than they do about curing people. The head of it was on television today on CNN, Avril Benoit, B-E-N-O-I-T. And she wasn't talking about medicine. She wasn't talking about as a doctor. She was a Hamas spokesman. She was saying, we must have a complete ceasefire. We must have a complete end of all hostilities. Israel has to surrender and admit it was wrong. Not a word in the whole interview. Not one word about October 7th. Not one word about the hostages that are being held. All she talked about was the poor people of Gaza and how they need medical care because 4 gallons of water alone is not enough. They need 5 gallons of water. I don't think I use more than 2 or 3 gallons of water a day, but you know, she wants 5 gallons of water. She wants gourmet meals. Not a word about the hostages, not a word from Doctors Without Morals, Doctors Without Borders, of how the hostages are what they're going through in terms of their health. Not a word. When she calls for a ceasefire, she doesn't say, we should have a ceasefire and they should free the hostages. No, no, her position is Israel should have a unilateral ceasefire without freeing a single hostage. So when you hear about Doctors Without Borders, understand they are a partisan, bigoted, anti-Semitic, anti-Israel organization that uses the term doctors, much the way the Jewish Voice for Peace falsely uses the word Jewish. Most of the people who work for or who protest under the Jewish Voice for Peace are not Jewish, and most of the doctors who claim to be working for Doctors Without Borders aren't real doctors. They're politicians. They're Hamas supporters. They're people who want to cease fire. They're not people who want to care for injured people. If they were, they would want to care for the injured among the hostages. They don't care about the hostages. Why? Hostages have two problems. They're Jews and they're Israelis. And Doctors Without Borders don't care about Jews or Israelis. They don't care about what happened on October 7th. They don't care about what's happening today. They don't care about these hostages. If they had at least had said, let's have a ceasefire and maybe we'll ask gently Hamas, you know, it's a good organization. We help it a lot. We're very close to them. Why don't we at least ask them nicely, pretty please, release a couple of hostages? No. No, no, no. This woman, Avriel Benoit, not a word about hostages, not a word about Israelis killed. What a bigot. Don't contribute anything to Doctors Without Borders. You want to contribute to a great organization called United Hatzalah. It's an organization in Israel that rescues people, Muslims, Christians, Jews. The people who do the rescues are Muslims, Christians, Jews. They are non-political, non-partisan. They are real doctors. They went to Ukraine as soon as the Ukrainian war broke out. They were at the kibbutzim before the military was there. That's a great organization. Doctors Without Borders is a phony, phony political organization that uses the fact that it has doctors in his name to try to act as a cover, as a beard for its political, partisan, bigoted, anti-Semitic, anti-Israel perspective. So do not contribute to Doctors Without Borders. There are better organizations to contribute to. And do not believe their propaganda when these doctors appear on television and say, oh, we've been in these hospitals. I've never seen a Hamas soldier or a Hamas terrorist. Yeah, because you've blinded yourself to it. Of course you've seen them. So Doctors Without Borders, doctors in Gaza, these are not real doctors. You wouldn't want to be treated by any of them. If you wanted to be treated by a Doctor Without Borders, if you were Jewish or an Israeli, believe me, I could get you a lot better doctor than that. So understand when you watch Doctors Without Borders that their real name should be Doctors Without Morals. Okay, let's look at some letters. In fact, one of the letters I got, I didn't read it, but one of the letters I got is, why are you so upset at Doctors Without Borders? And now you've heard why I'm so upset at Doctors Without Borders. So Doctors Without Borders, the New York Times, there'll be four more people on the list soon. Jamie Raskin, congressman from Maryland, Democrat, progressive, woke, calls for a unilateral ceasefire. At least he calls for the release of hostages. I have to give him that credit. He's my former student, so I have to be nice about him. Bernie Sanders, I don't have to be nice about him. You want to make me a Republican? Nominate Bernie Sanders or Jamie Raskin for president, and you'll get me to make that switch. I hope it never happens. Okay, here are some letters. Big mistake negotiating with Hamas. I understand the pressure, but this will end up hurting more than helping. Look, I agree with that. On the other hand, in democracy, how do you How do you not listen to the tears, to the cries of family members? It's only democracies that give in to terrorists. Non-democracies don't have to. Putin doesn't have to do that. What does he care if 250 or 300 or 1,000 Russians are killed? He's just looking for his own interests to be served. This is something that refers to Meir Kahane, who is a very right-wing rabbi who I knew. My parents knew his parents. We go back a long time. I defended him when he was head of the Jewish Defense League. He says, when you debated Kahane, you were far left. No, never far left. I was never far left in my life. I was always a centrist, libertarian, liberal, never a woke progressive, never far left. But don't pretend you weren't and didn't understand the conflict of the Arab mindset. Not pretending anything. Because while Kahane spent a lot of time with Mizrahi Israeli Jews, Sephardic Jews from North Africa, you didn't. Instead of ranting on today, don't you think it's long past time that you publicly state you were wrong in those debates? No, I was right in those debates. I called for a two-state solution. It's still an aspiration. It's much more difficult. But remember, my debates with him were in the 70s. Between that time, Arafat turned down a two-state solution. Abbas turned down a two-state solution. And the Palestinians, through history, have turned down a two-state solution because they want there not to be a Jewish state more than they want to have a state of their own. And they're not going to have a state of their own as long as they condition it on it not being a Jewish state. Peter Beinhart and Mark Lamont Hill are not going to prevail. It's not going to be a single secular binational state headed by Hamas. What a contradiction in terms. Hopefully there'll be a two-state solution someday. We're not ready for it now, but we're ready to create some building blocks, hopefully pointing in that direction. You sound more like a classical liberal than a new age leftist. Not Mrs., but certainly a constitutionalist. And I agree with you. That's what I am. I'm not a new age or an old age leftist. Never a leftist. I was always moderate liberal supporter of social justice, but never a person of the hard left. I've always opposed the hard left of Noam Chomsky and William Kunstler and people like that. Okay, Alan, the argument on the other side, CEG Norman Finkelstein, who on October 7th said every bone in his body is warm as a result of seeing these rapes and these beheadings and these massacres. It warmed the cockles of his heart. He is such a fanatical anti-Semite Jew. A Jewish anti-Semite, much like some who, Gertrude Stein and others who supported Hitler. He would have supported Hitler if Hitler had been, you know, a communist instead of a Nazi or a hard leftist instead of a Nazi. So, okay, see Norman Finkelstein. Is that Gaza is a concentration camp? It's not a concentration camp. I've been there. I've had dinner in Gaza before it became Hamas stronghold. And that violent revolt by concentration camp inmates is justified. But it's not a concentration camp to the extent that it's poverty-stricken. It's because Hamas made it so. When Israel left in 2005, they left behind farm implements, agricultural. They got money from Wolfson and others to help create Singapore in the Mediterranean. It's a beautiful area with beaches. And instead, Hamas took over and stole all the money. There are now four Hamas billionaires who have their monies secreted in Qatar. And they turned it into a poverty-stricken terrorist base. It's not a concentration camp. There's nothing to break out of. If you want to change what's going in Hamas, have a revolution. Overthrow Hamas. Have an attempt to try to bring about some security for the people of Hamas, or by the way, 75% of whom, or 72%, I forget the number, over 70%, supported the Hamas massacres of October 7th. So don't tell me about, you know, these wonderful Hamas civilians, the babies, the children, the 20 or 25% maybe that don't support Hamas, but the 75% or the 70% who supported these mass murders, the other percentages who went along with the mass murders and participated in them. I'm not shedding any tears for them. I am shedding tears for truly, truly innocent members of Gaza who are victimized by Hamas much more than they are by Israel. Hamas is the enemy of the people of Gaza, not Israel. Jews are a small minority, like redheads. My husband is a Jew and a redhead. I am definitely getting your book. Wouldn't know it now, but I was a redhead. My grandmother used to call me Reuter, which was the name means a redhead. And when I was a kid, I was a redhead, and I had all the attributes of a redhead. So I'm a Jew and a redhead. I must be a minority. Also, over the past week, my book came out. You know, this is the record-breaking book. Started it on October 7th and finished it on November. Well, I finished it earlier, but I sent it to the publisher all done by October, by November 20th. So that's about 6 weeks. I love the back cover because the back cover is illustrated by what's really going on. It has an Israeli soldier who's protecting a baby carriage, standing in front of the baby carriage, drawing the fire to protect the baby. And then on the other side is a Hamas fighter using the baby carriage to protect him, using the baby as a human shield. And I think, you know, if you see this cartoon, you still have to read the book, but you don't have to read it. You won't have any surprises. The book also has a wonderful endorsement by the president of Israel, who read the book. He's so busy, but I sent him an advanced copy, and he read the book, and he liked it, and he praised it. So please, time is ripe now to buy the book. If you like what you hear on this show, get it on Amazon. War Against the Jews, How to End Hamas Barbarism. And don't get the New York Times. Get my book, not the New York Times. Contribute to Hatzalah, not Doctors Without Borders. Those are my messages for today. See you tomorrow.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.